हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
okay. So topic 8A, Prasita, take 2. Okay. So, feeding the Brahmins. I will fully declare what and how many Brahmins must feed on that occasion, who must be avoided, and on what kinds of food they shall dine. One must feed 2 Brahmins at the offering to the gods and 3 at the offering to the maids, or only 1 on either occasion. Even a very wealthy man should not be anxious to entertain a large company. A large company destroys these 5 advantages. 1, the respectful treatment of the invited. 2, the propriety of place. And 3, time, purity. 4, and the selection of virtuous Brahmin guests. He therefore shall not seek to entertain a large company. In other words, the Vedic literature is pointing out is that if you're inviting people over, you know, or you're somehow or another you're inviting people to a program where you're going to take care or feed or entertain them, then the idea is that these 5 things are what you're looking to see that are of good quality. It means your respectful treatment is, you know, up to standard, it's good according to whatever their position, right? It means, as mentioned before, if someone's in a higher position, they get more respect. If they're an equal, they get, you know, equal. If they're lower, they, you know, whatever it is that they deserve, then they get, right? Then the propriety of place, time, and purity. Right, the place, you have to have a proper place. You know, in other words, if you have a small place, you can't invite more people like that, you know, unless it's, I don't know, I've heard of programs in Russia, in the, you know, before Glasnost, but there would be 80 people or something in one of those small, dinky Russian apartments. But, you know, it was standing room only, but hey, you know, they were used to that, so that it worked. So in other words, is that how many can fit in a place, what you can do, what is the time? You know, in other words, the time of the day or whatever's the thing, then you're going to have things working. Or time, meaning how long it takes the meal to happen. You have too many people and you can cook 5 chapatis, you know, every 10 minutes. Then better have less people. You know what I'm saying? So you have to consider like that. Purity, because if there's, you have to be able to, you know, everybody can wash, they can sit properly, they can wash their hands afterwards, you know, do everything properly. You have that facility, otherwise you have 50 people and you have 1 tap, you know, then it's going to be a problem. So, you know, 5 people, 6 people, you know, that'll work. But does that make sense? So those kind of things. And the selection of virtuous Brahmins. So if the idea is that, let's say you're doing a program that you want to respect senior devotees or like this, then by doing a large company may not work. You know, it's like if there's 5 devotees who you would put in that category, don't try to feed 10. Does that make sense? You know, because you're also looking at the element of what will be equal nature, common nature, you know, so that when they all sit, it will be a pleasant time, they'll all get along very nicely. You know, the idea is that when you host, everybody should be very comfortable and happy, right? So, therefore, according to their position, you know, their respect, according to the natures that they get along, according to your facilities that you can take care, right? So then you should deal with those kind of things, right? Does that make sense? Thank you. Oblations to the gods and maids must be presented by the givers to a Kshatriya alone. What is given to such a most worthy Brahmin yields great rewards. So, Kshatriya is someone who knows and practices the scriptures. So by serving such devotees, then you advance nicely, right? It means that you take care of any devotee and feed devotees, that's always a benefit. But if you're looking at it from the point of as the spiritual benefit from this, then the more qualified, the more that will be there. If you're just looking at a nice program for devotees, you don't worry about that, because that's covered in the next, I mean, in these, it means the next, it will be presented that when you're dealing with the mains, as we mentioned before, the offering is for someone else. It means all the arrangements is not for you, so it's not really up to you to decide. I mean, you have to decide, but it's not up to you, is that whatever is like, you just feel is good enough, then that's good enough for others. No, when you're doing a sacrifice that others benefit from, not yourself, then you should do it up to the standard. So it has to be more. But it says one for the gods, you don't have to worry about that so much. You know, and for us, then your worship of the gods is, you know, going to be Krishna. Because the demigods, they're serving Krishna. Krishna is the forefather. So therefore, our programs, we're not so worried about it, because it goes back to Krishna. So then there's not a need to, all these strict material qualifications aren't required. Right? Does that make sense? So for the devotee, that's why a devotee, even they do these rites, then it doesn't have to be so strict. Just, you know, proper practicing Vaishnavas, you know, that's all that's required. Like that. Yes?
I just wanted to ask you regarding my situation in this. I had a doubt. My parents, they are all coming from the smart life.
Right, okay.
So they follow all this strict rules and regulations that. So suppose if some parents die, my father die or someone like that. So they are not going to accept the way the Gaudiya Vaishnavas do.
Well, I mean, there is two levels of the Gaudiya Vaishnava. There's the general, which is actually all that's required. You know, the prasad, the discussions, the feeding of all the Vaishnavas at the end of plate for the deceased person. That's actually all that's required. You know, but we do have a more technical one that is there that deals with what you do beforehand, preparing the body, the burning, and all these different elements like that. So if one needs something more, can use that. But if even that they're not going to be interested in, then they just follow their tradition and wherever you can. You know, the main point is that somebody's Krishna conscious. That's what's the smart process will be, you know, according to Shastra. So it's not that it's not bona fide. Its weakness is that it doesn't consider that all these rules and regulations are to please the Lord. That's what the smarta problem is. Their problem is not that they follow rules and regulations. They don't actually, the problem is they don't know what the rules and regulations are for. You know what I'm saying? It's just like somebody goes into the kitchen, cooks everything exactly, you know, each pot goes where, each spoon goes in its place. They follow the recipe exactly, not deviating one bit. They end up with their preparation at the end, but then there's no offering, no one eats it. So that's the smartest. So our complaint's not that they do things technically. Our complaint is that they don't come to the actual conclusion of serving the Lord. So now if someone from that background takes it to there, then they'll have no problem with rules and regulations. They'll live a very pious life. Everything that they do is pious. It's all offerable to the Lord. So it works very nicely.
So, but in this case, like, now if I have to do something, then I'll...
It means if you have other relatives and all that, then they must have their people that'll do it. Because generally speaking, let's say you have, a family, they're priests, right? But now let's say someone dies in the family. Generally someone else outside the family acts as the priest, so then you wouldn't have to worry. Mm-hmm. But if it's in your hand that you could follow these kind of things, nice. All it is our things will cut out a lot of little details that are meant for this devata, that devata, and all that. And will bring out much more the element of its connection to the Lord. But the point is all those devatas, they're all servants of the Lord anyway. And so then it's just a matter of, we'll just remember if you're worshipping this one, then that comes from Krishna, that potency. If you, this one, that comes, you know, if it's Indra, then, you know, it's Krishna is actually the ruler of all. If it's Vayu, then he is prana. You know, if it's Agni, then he is, you know, movement, motion, he is activity. In all these things. So we'll benefit, whether they benefit or not is another thing, you know. And you know what I'm saying? And then when you're doing your tarpanas in the water and all that, then you can pray for their, you know, being a little more Krishna conscious. Maybe no one else is, but hey, you know. So in other words, those aspects that you can add yourself, then you do. If they're not going to add them.
Okay.
Or if it's a matter of Yeah, because there's always has to be, because it doesn't matter who they are, if they're in the Vedic culture, if they die, everyone's got to chant Hari.
Yeah.
So even if they're, you know, complete Mayavadis, they're all chanting Hari. Even if they're Shaktas, they're chanting Hari. It doesn't matter what it is, death ceremony means, you're chanting, you know, Vishnu's name. So, you know, certain things work, you know. You know, so it's like that. So I wouldn't worry. But otherwise, you can get the technical details, you know, of what has been, you know, traditionally, what has at least been authorized, you know, that the Gaudiyas wouldn't be against using amongst the Gaudiyas, because even amongst the Gaudiyas, then they'll have their, oh, you know, this one's Samaved, this is that, and so they have so many things. So if you follow that one, the Bengalis at least will be happy. But if you're not Samaved, if you're Rik or Yaj or Atharva, then they'll probably have their own Padati, and they may or may not be pleased about it, because ours will be according to Sama, like that. If they're willing to accept that, okay, this is Sama way to do it, then great. But if there's no, our tradition, we do like this, then let them do. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, briefly. A Shroti is an educated and cultured Brahmin. Some later verses state, some Brahmins are devoted to the pursuit of knowledge and others to the performance of austerities. Some to austerities and to the recitation of the Veda and others to the performance of sacred rites. Oblations to the manes ought to be carefully presented to those devoted to knowledge, but offering to the gods in accordance with the reason of the law to men of all the four above mentioned classes. So that means this. In other words, if somebody is practicing Krishna consciousness, that's good enough if you're dealing something with that's Krishna conscious, right? But if it's to do with the mains, then it should be someone who is knowledgeable, who practices, who studies and practices, teaches, because that's considered the highest duty of a Brahmin, right? So if someone is studying and preaching, they're the most qualified, because that's the most excellent occupation of a Brahmin, right? So in other words, being a preacher is the best occupation for a Brahmin, right? These others is nice, and they're not a problem, but that's always the best. So therefore, for us, then, preachers, that's basically most senior devotees are preachers, so we already automatically have the best. And so that's... Similarly, Parasara says, the mouth of a Brahmin may be likened unto a field that is thornless and not swampy, right? Because in other words, there's nothing to remove, right? Mm-hmm. He who casts seeds in such a soil is the true cultivator. Right? In other words, you'll get the most benefit by associating and serving those who are preaching Krishna consciousness. Right? That's the... In good fields, the seeds should be sown, and unto worthy recipients the gift should be offered. Whatever is cast in a good soil or in a good recipient suffers no deterioration. Because, in other words, it's not... If it's no deterioration means... It has to be spiritual. So what the law is saying is actually you're supposed to someone who has knowledge and applies that. In other words, as we were discussing, you know, from the Bhagavad Gita study, that means a devotee, because only a devotee actually understands the personality of Godhead. He has knowledge, but because he applies it, he actually knows the Lord. Therefore, by serving such personalities, then you get the eternal benefit. Right? You get transcendental benefit. Other things, you'll get good material benefit. It'll be very pious, you know, how you say, elevation in heavenly planets, this, that, all these things. But it won't get you transcendence. So that's why for us, even these rules aren't good enough. Means the essence, what these rules are alluding to, yes, but just the seeming form of it is not enough. Right? Just as a, you know, qualified Brahmin and this and that. So even if it's like in your situation where the smarta arrangements and the Shraddha, they're going to invite them over, then keep them to these rules. That means, in other words, from the community there of smarta who actually studies and practices rather than just feed a whole bunch of people. You'll get more out of feeding one person than you will out of a whole bunch of them. Right? So in other words, who studied, who this and that. And if you can work in a devotee, that's even better. You know, like that. And then you find, you know, there's so many rules here. Because the point is the person is going to eat all these things. What they're eating goes to the mains. So the mains, until the next morning, are going to follow them around. Right? So you're going to have a lunch. And so until the next morning, the mains are going to follow them. So that means they can't go after the right and they do everything, paka, go home and be a nonsense. Because the mains are following them. Right? That's in all the small print, you know. Like that. So smartest should read the small print, right? The Vaishnavas don't need to, but smartest should. So that means you pick someone who you know will follow these things properly. Otherwise, then even they, as smartest, don't get any benefit. What benefit don't get? Like that. So that's why I said even one person is better. They say no socially, but they invited us here. It doesn't matter. Do you want that deceased person to get benefit? You follow the rules. You know, and especially as they're smartest, you just pull it right out. There it is. You know, it'll say. You know, so that, like that. Yes?
I have a question regarding something that came up recently regarding meeting guests and the proper respect given. We had a Prabhupada disciple become born at the same time with the sannyasi, who was not a saint, not a Prabhupada disciple.
Right.
Who, when they were in their early days, was under the Prabhupada disciple.
Right.
We weren't sure who we should be. And the Prabhupada said, okay, first you're asking, who would be first?
No, but then in that case, then because the sannyasi is always going in the category of a guest, unless they're a personal friend or something like that.
They're an old friend, my husband.
Yeah, but friend means like intimate, close friend, like sit around and punch each other in the shoulder and roll on the ground kind of friend, or just they knew each other.
They were old, like brahmacharis together.
Okay, so if he would rather sit with you when you eat, then he can help in taking care of this Prabhupada disciple. Otherwise, as a sannyasi, automatically he'd be counted as in that first category. And so that Prabhupada disciple and the sannyasi would just eat together.
So you could feed them together.
Yeah, there's no problem. Yeah. Like that means any of those, it's not that it's just one person. What we're talking about here, the one person is specifically for the Shraddha rite, like that. But it's also the principle of it that if you want to get benefit by serving Vaishnavas, better to serve how many you can take care of nicely. That's the point. That's why it says there's a number. It says even better one, because the thing is if you have so many people you can't take care of, you can't make the arrangements nicely, no one's going to be comfortable, then you're not really getting more benefit. It's not that wow, I fed 10 devotees today, and like that. No, it's a matter of feed three very nicely or one very nicely. Then that's better. Krishna will be more pleased. That's the idea. So. But when we were discussing before about Brahmanyahuti, about guests, the atiti, then it's a matter of, you know, if they're both there, then you feed them together, you know. And then after that would be others who are not, you know, somebody comes by, but it wouldn't be that formal. You know, say if they could, you know, let's say, and also let's say the temple president showed up, you know, but they wouldn't mind eating together, so then they'd all sit together. You know what I'm saying, like that.
So it really kind of depends on who they are and their relationship.
Yeah, who they are in their relationship. Yeah, like that. But I mean, it's of course, there's the element of the relationship to you, otherwise why they're there. But at the same time, as if the situation is such that they would all naturally fit into there, because devotees aren't really used to the idea of you feed the guests, then you take care of others, and then you eat last. You know, much of the time it's like, you know, they'll set up the table and start kind of serving, getting everything on everybody's plate so that everyone can start, and all the things are on the table with all the spoons in it. Then the hosts sit down to eat. You know, that happens also quite a lot. You know, so then they're not, you know, this order of things is there. So in that case, then you would see that your guests would be the ones sitting when you start the process rather than getting them to do it and you be sitting first. Like that. You know, that would be. So in other words, these are the ideas that this is the order of attention. So now if you're doing it in all one thing, you know, it's like, you know, the Prabhupada disciples there and the sannyasi is there and, the, you know, the kids are there and your mother-in-law is there and you're all there and, you know, like that, then. But just see that it kind of goes in that order that's taken care of. They get taken care of, you know, the other persons in the family taken care of. And then who is hosting, then they would sit last, you know, unless they have some close friends and that they would do together. But let's say if the sannyasi was a brahmachari, that person was a brahmachari, then this Prabhupada disciple may not mind that he served, because he was junior to him in the past, but now he's a sannyasi, so technically, socially, he's senior. Socially, he's senior, but on an individual basis, between them, then one was senior, one was junior. So if that relationship still remains between the two of them, that's the way it is, one senior and junior. But socially, it doesn't matter. The sannyasi trumps all. Mm-hmm. Even if the person's a GBC, if he's a grihastha, and he's a prabhasaya, this and that, the sannyasi socially trumps him. That's it. It's just, like it or not, that's the way it is. Because you have to take some, then you say the generation, okay, then you can do that. So therefore, by age, the Prabhupada disciple is senior. By generation of initiation, he's senior, right? And then you'd have to look at what he's done in the past. Okay, he was the temple president there for 20 years, and then this person, the brahmachari doing this and that, he's just taken sannyas. He hasn't done the sacrifice. So this person by sacrifice is senior. So in three things. But he is also, he's sannyasi, so that's above the grihastha. But that sannyasi respects that Prabhupada disciple for those elements. So there's a mutual respect. Does that make sense? So if he was a grihastha and he was a sannyasi, they were sitting there, you would put things on the sannyasi's plate first. Because he's senior by the thing. The senior junior is between them, not you and them. You understand? That's their relationship. You understand?
Like that.
And it also says here is you have to be careful is that, I'm not saying they do, but if the person pulls the I'm a Prabhupada disciple card, that right there drops them out of even being worthy of being a guest. They're not a guest anymore. Then it's a matter of they drop into the category, out of kindness you're taking care of them. You're feeding them. Because someone who uses position and other things like that to get a meal, then Manu doesn't have anything good to say about them. Like that. What I'm saying? It puts them in the position of a fallen sannyasi. Right? In other words, someone who uses their, I was a temple, I was in here for 30 years before you guys were even born, and this, that, all that, so therefore I should have that. It puts them in the position of a fallen sannyasi, socially. So therefore, it's just how, you would deal with them nicely and this and that, but the element of going out of your way and so much endeavor in the way of respect and stopping your life to entertain them, you're not obliged anymore. Right? Because a guest, your life stops and you take care of the guests. And when they're taken care of, then you go on. You know what I'm saying? But if it's not in that category, you fit them into your life. In consideration of who they are. What I'm saying? A friend comes over, everything doesn't stop for them. They fit in when you're going to sit and eat and you're doing this and that. It works out. Does this make sense? Yeah.
There are five levels of seniority, right?
Five means you have age, you have relations, you have wealth, you have influence, you have knowledge. There's also sacrifice.
Sacrifice is where?
Sacrifice is, I think, after knowledge. I think it's knowledge, sacrifice. Then it will be influence.
Wealth.
Then I think it's maybe relations, wealth, and then because in other words, you have a relation, let's say you have an uncle, but you're more rich than him, but still you respect him because he's your uncle. But at the same time, if he's smart, he will be dealt nicely because as a business person, you're better at it than he is. Does that make sense? So the idea is that these are points of to respect. And so whoever has more of them is in the more respectable position. But it's not that even you have more, you don't respect what qualities are in the other person. It's just like, it's your knife, you went out and bought the knife, and you're way bigger than the knife. You're 6 foot tall, and the knife's only 9 inches long. So the point is, in all ways, you're superior. You weigh more than him, you smell more than him. It's all you. It's obvious. But the point is, if you don't respect the knife for its sharpness, you'll get cut. Does that make sense? So that's the whole idea, is that whatever is respectful, it's respectable. then it should be offered respect, because that quality is actually Krishna. So technically you're respecting Krishna. But because the person identifies with it, then they get to share in that. You know, and even if they don't identify, it's just that's coming through them, and you have to respect Krishna for it, like that, because it's manifest. In other words, where Krishna manifests his potency, you have to respect that. Right? Does that make sense? But age alone isn't enough, you know, like that. But it is something to respect. So a younger person would respect someone who's elder, even if they're senior to them in all the other aspects. Does that make sense? You know, like you say, you have the uncle and the nephew, you know, so the uncle is 6 years old and the nephew is 16. So they have their relation, but in dealing, the 6-year-old wouldn't treat the 16-year-old like a 6-year-old. You'd have to treat him like a 16-year-old, but he's still senior. Because relation is more important than age. Age is the last. Yes.
But isn't it also like with the Prabhupada disciple example that anyone senior, a sign of being senior or respectable would be to offer respect?
Yeah, that's there. So. But these rules are what you'll apply in yourself. You don't say, well, he's supposed to do that,
exactly.
And he's not. So
yeah.
That you always want to avoid.
That's actually the point.
Yeah. No, it's that these are things. So if they follow that, nice. If they don't follow it, doesn't matter. You follow it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing about dharmas. If you follow it, you'll get the benefit, even if no one else follows it. You know, that last final instruction of the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is, don't be discouraged if no one else practices Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
If everybody else in the world gives it up, don't be discouraged. You just continue, you know, because it happens. Because if you practice it, you'll go back to Godhead. They don't practice it, they don't go back to Godhead. It's not like, hey, they're not doing it, why should I do it? No, it's like, you know, it's like, hey, they're all hitting themselves in the head with a hammer, why shouldn't I? You know, it's kind of like, you know, it's like, sure, go ahead. Here's a hammer. You know. You want a claw or a ball peen? Or, hey, what about 5 pound? You know, you can be superior to that. Okay. Okay, so let him feed even one learned man at the sacrifice of the gods and one at the sacrifice of the manes. Thus you will gain a rich reward. Not if he entertains so many who are unacquainted with the Vedas. So in other words, someone who doesn't know, who's not Krishna conscious, is you're not going to get the benefit. Right? It would be, so one Krishna conscious person is worth, you know, here he says, so many. And in the next verse, you'll actually take it to millions. So one Krishna conscious person is worth millions of non-Krishna conscious persons, right? So in other words, you're doing the greatest welfare work by feeding devotees, like that. Because there's plenty of others to feed the millions, right? You know, if you can do it, nice. But if not, then you just feed devotees. Though a million of men unacquainted with the rich were to dine at a sacrifice, yet a single man learned in the Veda who is satisfied with his entertainment. That means you've done things nicely. Satisfied, you've taken care nicely, you know, all the arrangements are nice. Is worth them all as far as the production of spiritual merit is concerned. Food sacred to the manes or to the gods must be given to a man distinguished by sacred knowledge, right? So this has been repeated how many times? You know, right? Given to a man distinguished by sacred knowledge, though a single man learned in the Veda, right? And then before, thus one, even one learned man, oblations must be presented to givers of Shruti alone, which means an educated person, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, according to Mimamsa, that means that's very important. In other words, someone who understands Krishna consciousness. That's who. So all devotees have an understanding or are practicing. So that means all devotees are worthy of. But according to their position or relationship, then they'll be more or less. You know what I'm saying? Like that. Okay, to whom not to. Okay. For a right sacred to the gods, he who knows the law will not make too close inquiries regarding an invited brahmana, right? So in other words, if it's connected to the gods and back, so if he's, you know, you know something about him, he appears, that's good enough, right? But the mains, because that's your benefit, If you're feeding someone connected with the demigods, that's your benefit. You're feeding the mains, all the benefit goes to the mains. Mm. Right? That's the idea. So there's a difference there. Mm. But when one performs a ceremony in honor of the mains, one must carefully examine the qualities of the guest. Right? So then, you know, if you have nothing else to do, then you can look at, you know, here. Manas declared that those Brahmins who are thieves, outcasts, eunuchs, or atheists are unworthy to partake of oblations to the gods and mains. Right? You know, so it means from there all the way to the next verse is all the people who shouldn't do it. And you know, these are Brahmins.
Yeah.
In other words, they're not practicing. The point is they're not studying and teaching. They're doing something else as an occupation. A trainer of elephants, oxen, horses, or camels. Right? You know, he divers water courses. He delights in instructing them. An architect, a messenger, and he who plants trees for money.
Hypocrite.
Yeah, so in other words, he's just a breeder of sporting dogs, a falconer, one who defiles maidens. He who delights in injuring living creatures, right? He does not fully, right? So all these different things is that nothing is uncovered here. He mentioned carpenters, physicians, temple priests, sellers of meat. So physicians, it means an Ayurvedic doctor, wouldn't be qualified, right? A temple priest wouldn't be qualified. So he's talking about it's supposed to be those. This is in mains. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the demigods, it's not that strict because it's your benefit. Because even if he's only claims to be a Brahmin, if you take care, you'll get double the benefit. Even though he's not a Brahmin, he just claims to be, you know, in name only or in dress only, you'll get double the benefit. But for mains, it's basically all or nothing. So that's why it's more delicate. So we've been saved from that because then you're dealing with Vaishnavas and the whole thing's connected to the Lord. Otherwise, you know, you want, you know, rules. This is rules, you know, like that. Okay. Yes.
They are mentioned temple priests.
Yeah, because they're involved in all the ritual and this and that and so many other things like that. There's also the other thing is that because the Shraddha rite, just for them, it'll also get in the way of things because they have their rituals, their rules, and technically when you've eaten at a Shraddha rite, you're considered impure that you can't do. So a temple priest means he's a nitya seva. So daily he's worse, so that means he won't be able to do his rituals. You know, so even though technically he's qualified, he may know the shastra is practicing, he won't be able to perform. That'll come up later when we get into in the Kshatriya Dharma about... it's actually in here. I think it's fifth chapter on purity, right? Or fourth chapter is purity. I don't know, one of the chapters coming up is purity. So in purity, then someone who's following a vow, then their purity is not lost. But the thing is in here, then they would be getting into, you know, during that you're not supposed to take part. So then it would get in the way of his doing his service. Like that. But later it mentions that all these different things, because their consciousness means that the physician is always thinking of bodies, you know, and pus and blood and mucus and all this kind of thing. Therefore, the food he eats turns into that when it goes to the, like that. But the person who is just studying the scripture, teaching the scripture, then food remains as food. It doesn't change into something weird, like that. You know, does that make sense? So it's just technically how it works. Okay. As a fire of dry grass is unable to consume the offerings, because it just goes up and is immediately gone, and is quickly extinguished, even so it is with an unlearned Brahman. Sacrificial food must not be given to him, since it would be offered in ashes. Right? Because you light, if you want to make an offering, you light the grass. By the time you've chanted the mantra to give the offering, it's already ashes. There is no fire. You know? Like that. So it has to be something that stays. So knowledge stays. Like that. Then... the next so many pages, then okay.
Excellent progress.
Yes, moving along very quickly. The sacrifice shall so make the invited Brahmins. So this is in what section? This is under
procedures of worship.
No, but it says procedures of worship. Okay. So this is just sacrifice. Shall make the invited Brahmins who have duly performed their ablutions. In other words, before eating, you have to wash your hands, mouth, and feet. Right? Then they can sit. Otherwise, it's not just you walking off the street and, you know, take off your coat and sit down at the table with your shoes on and start eating. No, you have to wash your hands, mouth, and feet here. So, sit down on separate prepared seats, not just a big couch and they all just have to adjust, you know, it's not a train or something like that. So, separate seats so they're, you know, they can focus themselves and properly, like that. On which blades of kusa grass have been placed, having placed those blameless Brahmins on the seats, you shall honor them with fragrant garlands and perfumes, beginning with those who are invited in honor of the gods. Okay, so here perfume means sandalwood paste, and then whatever else you put into it has a fragrance. So Gandha in the Vedic means sandalwood paste. And then in that sandalwood paste you may have agaru, musk, you know, camphor, rose, anything, you know, like you would, or saffron, or just as it is, whatever. It itself is Gandha, is perfume. And then anything more just makes it more perfume. Right? So another, the place, they're respected, and all these different things. But by carrying the vessel filled with food with both hands, the sacrificer himself shall gently place it before the Brahmin. So he himself should, in other words, if you're the host, you should, and they're such respectable persons, you should do it yourself. You don't get servants to do it. You don't get, oh, you know, the little kid wants to do it, and all that. You know, you don't do those things. Those are when you have, you know, other kinds of programs, you do that. If it's a formal program, you don't do that. If it's not a formal program, that's a real killer. After you have stuffed them to the point they're not going to eat anymore, then you bring out the little kid. Oh, but they wanted to serve. You know, then you end up eating more. Then after that, then you bring out the old grandmother. You know, she was like that. Then you, you know, at some point you just get up and run screaming out the door because there's no other way to get out of it. Okay, so with all attention, full focus, then you're carrying and placing it before the Brahmins, like that. So you've brought it like that, not you just, you know, doing so many things at once, and, you know, got all the buckets and all the things, and all the plates are up here, some on your head, you know, like that. That's not a, you know, a local diner or something like that. Okay, so the medieval that the suras forcibly snatch away that food which is brought without being held in both hands, because it's not being brought with respect. Therefore, it's been given the right to the asuras that they can take it. It means the food will be there. It's not that they'll, you know, you'll suddenly, you know, your window will smash in and these big asuras will come in and go, hey, that's mine. And you'll walk off with it. And what is going on? Who is that? Sits over, sits on your couch, sister. It means the benefit of eating the food they get. The fun part is you eat it. You got to do all the chewing and that, but they get the benefit. Right? Krishna takes care of everybody, right? Let him being pure and attentive, right? In other words, you're clean, so your mode of goodness, you're attentive. Carefully place on the ground the seasoning for the rice. So the seasoning means all the what you're going to eat with the rice. You know, so all your vegetables, your dals, your chutneys, your anything you're going to eat with the rice. Such as broth and pot herbs, sweet and sour milk and honey. So anything that you're going to be putting on the cotton milk and honey, right? Like that. So the only problem is they left out the broth, pot herbs, and that. You know, that was the only thing missing. I guess in sand you don't have them. So you don't put them. As well as various kinds of hard food which require mastication. So there's all the things that are more liquid, and then also solid things that go along with it. And of soft foods, roots, fruits, savory foods, and fragrant drinks. So what is this indicating? In other words, it's a full meal. You know, it would be on the level of like what you do at, you know, a very special occasion or a wedding, you know, but leave out the part about false ego just trying to impress everybody. It means, you know, so you don't need four kinds of dal, right? That's only because the last one you went to, they did three kinds, and you want to show them you did one more than them, you know. So, no, it's a matter of what would be a complete meal, You know, so for us, that means your appetizer, your bitters, your spinach, your dals, your pakur fries, your chachuris, you know, all these different things, your rich sabzis, chutneys, all the varieties of sweets. And here it also means fruits, fruit, all these different, it means everything, the whole thing. What normally, because you just in a meal, you just use part of that, you know, rice and one or two sabzis, or, you know, like this. This is like everything, you know, so like that. So in other words, the more qualified, the more nice the arrangements, right? But also in here, nice means what you can do nicely. So better to cook fewer preparations nicely than a lot of preparations not as nicely, you know? Because generally when you have these big programs and there's 108 preparations and that, there's still only five preparations that are really outstanding. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So the idea is that when you're inviting guests, you know, don't try anything new on them. You try that on yourself. And when you know that it works, then you can use it for guests, you know. But you use what things you know how to cook nicely. That's the main thing. So if you're always cooking and good at so many things, then you decide what you want. But if you're not, you know that you can cook five things nicely, cook those five things rather than ten.
You mentioned 108 preparations. Sometimes you do one rice with this, one rice with that. Is that okay? Like you just...
It makes 108, but generally 108 means you've cooked 108 preparations. Not you made one batch of sandesh and then you put blue food coloring this, then red, then yellow, then yellow. So, yeah, 10 kinds of sandesh might all taste the same. Just it's different colors, you know. 108 means... If you saw that offering that Jamuna Mataji did mentally for Nityananda Prabhu on Nityananda Trayodasi, that would either be 108 or 64. That's what is meant by that. It's not a number to get to. It's a matter of more endeavor. You know what I'm saying? It's not. I mean, of course, it is a little bit more endeavor to take the sandesh, divide it in 10 parts, and have that you've arranged the 10 different colors, like that. But to actually 10 individual preparations, so better than, because normally it's 64 is what's offered, you know. But we've jacked it up to 108. But then it's really hard to do. 64 wouldn't be as difficult to make individual preparations, but 108 becomes 1,008. Yeah, then that's you know,
so then sandesh becomes 20 sandesh.
Yeah, well, yeah, like that. But then somebody else does it. But then they make it a different shape, or you know, they like that. So the idea is that effort put into it is what's special. Right, so the more special the guest, the more special the arrangement, you know. But it has to be within what is your means, your capacity. You don't do something beyond, you know, like that. You're supposed to survive the entertainment.
So this is the need for another.
yeah. Then the next person will get to do it. You know. Yeah. It says, wow. I'm really, really sorry about your father. What happened? It says, well, he died at the Shraddharai. It says, oh, and then you've invited us now to this Shraddharai.
Okay. Good luck.
So we're here at his Shraddharai because he died at the Shraddharai. He was performing here.
Good luck.
Okay. All this he shall present to his guests, being pure and attentive. Successively invite them to partake of each dish, proclaiming its quality. Successively. So it means there's a natural order of things, you know, or if they go in groups, but, you know, it's just certain things can go together. Like all your simple subjects can all be at the same time, with the dal and the fries and those kind of things. That's one group. But bitters and all that go before that. Or, you know, your rich subjects go after that. You know what I'm saying? So generally every cuisine has its order of things. You know what I'm saying? You know, even the West. You know, you take a bite of your burger, then you sip something to drink because you forgot to drink beforehand and all that. And you've got it stuck in your throat, therefore you drink that. You know, so there is an order, right? No? Yeah. Like that.
Pretty standard.
Yeah. Let him on no account drop a tear, because it's a Shraddharai, so it's a fork, because then you're getting to lamentation and all that. But the point is you're entertaining, because how well you entertain the guests is what the benefits the forefathers get. So if you're lamenting and therefore you can't do it nicely, the forefather won't get a good arrangement. Right? So that's also why the Shraddharai is on the 11th day. that gives you time to get it together, you know, like that. Become angry or utter an untruth, nor let him touch the food with his foot, nor violently shake it. Because we say, why would he violently shake? Sometimes we're trying to figure out what something is, or if it's not, and we shake it. You don't do that. You know, if you look at it, and if you can tell what it is, great. If not, ask someone else. Don't shake it, don't smell it, you know, don't do all these kinds of things. Don't touch it with your foot means you're conscious, right? Because that was the thing, being attentive, being pure and attentive. So he's put everything properly so he can serve and not touch it with his foot. So that indicates they're sitting, the pots are on the ground, and then you're going, picking up a pot, and then going, and then giving it, and like this. So there is the possibility of touching with your foot. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. So. A tear sends the food to the pratas. Because these are all the things that everybody in the universe gets their quota. Right? So this is how they get their quota. A tear sends the food to the pratas, anger to his enemies. Right, so that his enemies get the benefit of the offering. A falsehood to the dogs, right? You got a bunch of strong dogs outside, you know, like that. Contact with his foot to the rakshasas, a shaking to the sinners. Whatever may please the Brahmins, let him give without grudging it. Let him recite stories from the Veda. The institutes of so let him recite from the Veda the institutes of the sacred law, legends, tales, Puranas, and Kilikas. Kilikas are the supplementary portions of the Rig Veda. So it has something. Himself being delighted, let him give delight to the Brahmins. Right? If you're happy, you can make others happy. If you're not happy, then you won't. Cause them to be partake gradually and slowly of each dish. And it's not a rush. You want them to nicely eat and all that. So it's not that you finish that, now what's next? No, relax. You just, you know, give that. And as they're eating, as the conversation is going, means you're describing all these things. As they eat, you serve, you know. And repeatedly invite them to eat by offering the food and praising its qualities. Right? So as many of these things are... how you say, you know, something is special, you know, oh, we got this, we brought this from Calcutta, or, oh, this is special, this came from this place, or some other qualities of it, oh, by eating this, it helps the digestion, or, you know, different things, you just, whatever is the good quality, because that means also one has to be aware of the stuff, you know, it wasn't, well, I don't know, my wife cooked it, I don't know what she made, so it's like, you know, it's like, in other words, he should know what's going on, right? He should also know what's food, how to serve, this, that. Yes.
Let him give delight to the Brahmins, but when you engage some Brahmins in the Shraddha rites, generally I'd seen and all this matter, they demand very high money for doing this.
Well, there you give delight to them how much you can, and if you know that certain ones demand more, find the ones that demand less, you know? You know what I'm saying? Because that's within the community. But the point is they shouldn't demand anything, because it should be according to what you can do. But at the same time, as you want to give a nice donation, because you have to remember, is they take on the karma of the forefather. You're feeding them and giving donation and treating them very nicely, but they take on all the sin of the forefathers that is a problem. You know, that may be blocking them from this and that, or they don't get certain things. So they're taking that on. So you're asking them to do a lot. That's why, generally speaking, even this is the fun part, is that only those who study and teach are supposed to go to the Shraddha rites, but they're recommended not to go. Because the reactions are so much greater. You know, if it's a rite for the demigods, you're only taking on the karma of the person serving it. You know, but the rite of the mains, you're taking on the karma of the person who died. Does that make sense? So generally, you know, if you're dead, it means you've been around longer, so there's more sin, right? Your host generally is less sinful, you know, has less sin to take care of than the mains. So it's all... Yeah.
Here in Vichin Maharaj, after eating prasadam, they announce this is prasadam in memory of this person. Eating, we get to know that we are eating the Sadhana.
Yeah, but at the same time, as then it's a big company, and how well you've been taken care of is how what benefit those persons will get. Yeah, no, it shouldn't be like that. It should be that, you know, it's known what it is and everything like that. that. But, you know, devotees don't. It's kind of like we don't worry about it, but we still worry about it a little bit, you know, so it's. That kind of thing is, it's not, you should just feed the devotees. You know, then that's in memory of, so it's just feeding devotees, that's a pious act so that that forefather gets the benefit. But at the same time, as you will share in some of the reaction. So that's why a dakshin is given. Is they say, oh, the food is, no, the food's not, the food's the medium. It's supposed to be a dakshin after. So if it is, then they should be coming around and giving everybody their whatever it's up to now, you know, before it was 10 rupees, so I don't know what they hand out nowadays. You know, big fat marmari comes with a big load and it goes and puts in there. Right? And they can't wait till after the meal. He has to do it during the meal like that. Because probably he wants to go eat himself. Having addressed the question, have you dined well, to his guests? Right? So in other words, if there's anything else or is like that, let him give water for sipping to them who are satisfied, and dismiss them after they have sipped water with the words, rest either here or at home. Sipping water means achman. So that means they've washed the mouth, the hands, the feet, like all these kind of things. Then it's either they can go home if it's close by or if it's convenient, they would rather, or they can rest there at the place. Either one. Okay. Okay, then let him daily partake of vignashna, so this is sacrificial food, and daily eat amrita, ambrosia. But vignashna is what remains from the meal of the Brahmin guests, and the remainder of a sacrifice is called amrita. So in other words, taking the remnants of the Vaishnavas and, you know, the offering to the Lord, that's what the, you know, prasad and mahaprasad, that is food for a cultured person like that. Conclusion of the 5 daily great sacrifices. Thus, all the ordinances relating to the 5 daily great sacrifices have been declared to you. Hear now the law for the manner of living fit for Brahmins. Right? Because it's Brahmana culture, so this is what's fit. And then everybody, this is the lifestyle they'll live. Right? And then according to their ability and that, then they may follow, you know, more or less strictly, you know, how clean they are, how, you know, all these different things like that. Okay, so that's 61. This is 3. Okay. So. It seems that we all. So. Went a little better for everybody this time. Round 2 is a little smoother then. Okay.
Boring.
Okay. So topic 9. The modes of gaining subsistence, right? So now that is, you know, your basic, what are your obligations, the way of sadhana? So you have to study, you have to chant Gayatri, you know, properly dealing with guests, all these different aspects. Now it's how you're going to maintain yourself. Right? So in other words, that was the ashram side of it. Now here's that element, the brahminical varna side of it. Right? Having dwelt with the teacher during the first part of a man's life, a brahmana shall live during the second quarter of his existence in his house after he has wedded a wife. Right? In other words, you don't have a house until you have a wife. Right? You know, just go out, buy your big house, you buy your Porsche, all these different things. There's no wife. That's not exactly what is the recommended tradition. Right?
That's your last one.
Yeah. A brahmana must seek a means of subsistence which either causes no or at least little pain to others, and live by that except in times of distress. So in other words, he should pick an occupation that doesn't disturb others. That's the ideal. And live by that. But in times of distress, you might have to follow something that needs more. Do you need light over there? Something else, okay. For the purpose of, we understand, in times of distress means the when your own natural occupation's not available. So then you start going either, that'll be described later, I think in the 10th chapter. is that either, you know, the Brahminical, you do Kshatriya or Vaishya duties, or within Brahminical, you do those things that are authorized but not recommended. You know, like taking charity from a king. It's not recommended because the king takes on 1/6 of the karma of a citizen, so therefore you accept charity from him. You're not just getting one man's sin, you're getting from the whole kingdom. So it's not recommended, though it's authorized. Right, like that. For the purpose of gaining bare subsistence, right? So this is specifically meaning the Brahman, right? And but you also have the element is, yeah, for the Marwari is that bare subsistence means, you know, you have crores of rupees, then you might spend a lakh or two. You know, that's just bare subsistence, right? You know, he's going out for a walk, you know, it's Sunday, you know, or something, he's just going, he has nothing to do. You know, he sticks a stack of, you know, 500 rupee notes in his pocket. Who knows what he'll come across, but that's just bare, he's not going for some serious that he's got, you know, his subji bag full of, you know, crores or rupees and got a bunch of subji on top. So this is just relaxed, right? Bare subsistence. Does that make sense? So therefore with the Brahmins, that bare subsistence is less. So this will be giving your ideal through the Brahminical standard, right? For the purpose of gaining bare subsistence, let him accumulate property by following those irreproachable occupations which are prescribed for his caste without unduly fatiguing his body. So in other words, what is your duty? That's what you follow. If it's not yours, don't follow it. Right? Times of distress, then you can drop to the ones below. You never go up. You know, it's not the Vaishya takes up Brahminical activities. No, the Vaishya can do Shudra activities or change business or do something else like that. He may subsist by Rita, truth, and Amrita, ambrosia, or by Mrita, death, and by Pramrita, that which causes many deaths, or even by the mode called Satyanrita, a mixture of truth and falsehood. This is funny when they're explained. But never by Svavriti, a dog's mode of life. Right? So in other words, there's six modes here. So the Brahman can use five, but he won't use the sixth. By Svavrita, he'll be explained. By Rita shall be understood the gleaning of grains. In other words, what's left over. They've come and harvested the field, then they take everything away, so what's left on the ground you come and sweep up. Or in the marketplace, you know, the market's there, there's so many things, but if things fall on the ground, you go and sweep those up, collect those, you know, like that. You know, the Tesco's has so much stuff, but when it goes past that particular date, it's still technically good, but it's considered they can't use it. So you go and collect that, you know, stuff. It's stuff that people don't want. In other words, Satya Rita means collecting that which nobody else wants, and you don't have to ask anybody. You just go and take it, right? Or in this case, you might have to take because it's around the back, because otherwise you might get, you know, they call the police on you, but... Does that make sense? But that means you live by just what... No, like Raghunath Das, that was... His Rita was not even what the humans did, what the cows didn't want it. Because it's put there, the cows might want it, so he waited. When the cows won't eat it, then he'll come and collect it. So that's like... So when we say he was the most austere, because of all of these Ritas, the most difficult. Right?
Cows will eat anything.
Huh?
Cows will eat anything.
Yeah, but then when it gets too stinky, they won't eat it either. So he would take it and wash it, because the outside would be have already gone bad, but the inside would still be good. So he'd wash it, just what's left in the middle. Right? Because it's sitting outside, so it gets dry, but the outside goes bad. So you wash off the outside, and that hard inside part, that's what he would eat. Right? So that's Rita to the most extreme. So, well, you know, is that a thing? So we're just thinking, okay, he's very austere, but no, it's even by occupations, that's the most austere occupation of that. He's following the most austere way. So it's like you can't get more renounced than Raghunath Das Goswami. Right? You know, that's the idea. Amrita, what is given unasked? You know, like that Python sadhu. He just, that's Amrita. He just does his other duties. He makes no endeavor for food. Whatever comes unasked is how he lives. Right? You know, or we see is that Magrari. He ended up living like that. He's just doing sadhana with his wife. He's not hunting anymore. People are so impressed by this, they just come and give him stuff and everything. That's Amrita. He's not asking for it. Right. It doesn't mean you tell somebody, you know, and then they bring it and then you say, oh, it's like that. Yeah. Mrita, you know, death, right? Food obtained by begging, right? Because it's death to your ego. Because you have an ego and all these people, then they think, because you're a beggar, you know, you're something less than them, and they have food and you're epic, like that, you know. You're dependent on God, and but you're coming to them for food, so they're greater than God. All this kind of jazz. So then that's death, right? Mrita. Agriculture is declared to be pramrita, means that which causes many deaths. Yeah. Because when you plow the field, so many bugs and worms and this and that are all killed. So in other words, it's dropped down into now these are the Vaishya activities, right? Okay, vritti. Oh, this whole thing's a vritti.
There's a section of verses from Parashara about agriculture for a Brahmana.
And where is that? Oh, in the next verse?
It mentions...
It doesn't say Parashara. Okay, it'll just read it. But this is a vritti, not the small verse. But yeah. Vritti, regarding a Brahmin's engagement in agriculture, Parashara states... Oh, okay. The Brahmin who daily performs the six religious rites known as Shatkarma should take to agriculture as a means of livelihood. It is quite virtuous to yoke 8 bullocks to a plow. Yoking 4 bullocks to plow is neither virtuous nor sinful. It is only the cruel that cause a plow to be drawn by four bullocks? No, should be 2.
2 comes next.
Oh, okay. Means it's neither virtuous nor sinful, it's cruel. Those who yoke a pair of bulls to a plow should be branded killers of bullocks because it's hard work. Mm-hmm. A hungry, thirsty, or fatigued bullock should not be yoked to a plow, and a Brahma should not cause maimed, diseased, or castrated bulls to carry his load. Right? So in other words, Brahmins also, they don't use, in this tradition, they don't use the castrated bulls because you have place, you have space, so they can move around and everything like that. It's more difficult when you have these closed environments. A healthy, strong-limbed, vigorous bull other than a castrated one should be yoked or harnessed until midday, not beyond that time, after which his twice-born master should take his bath. Right? So in other words, they won't work all day. You'll start in the morning after the sunrise, so that'll be 5, 6 in the morning. Most places in India it's about 6. Here it's because we're so far east. Bengal is east, so it comes up very early. So you start then, and then you would go to midday, whatever it is. But it comes up earlier here, it goes down also earlier. So that means the midday is here would be earlier than midday in some other places. You know, so it's like here actually midday is before 12 o'clock. It's always between about 11:20 to 11:40. This is like that. After that, a twice-born man should attend to his daily rites of japa, homa, and divine worship, studying the Vedas, and feed 1, 2, or 3, or 4 snatika brahmanas. Right. So, therefore, feeding of guests is just the standard daily affair that one does. So that's why we're saying those other things. So the detail of it is given in the Shraddha rites because it's the most technical there. But the principle applies when you're dealing with everyone. The difference there will be in the Shraddha rite, the brahmins don't talk. They're not supposed to talk, they're not supposed to praise the food like that. You know, so all these things they have to do. But you know, in this, it's just regular taking Brahmanyahuta. So therefore, it's you don't have to worry about that. You know, talking, all these things. But how careful you are in serving and being attentive, that you can take some direction from, you know, what's there and in these other places. Does that make sense? In the field which he himself has plowed and with money earned by his own labors, a twice-born one should celebrate the 5 daily religious sacrifices known as the Pancha Yajna and cause himself to be initiated for the celebration of a Kratu rite. The sale of oil or of any sweet vegetable juice by a Brahmin is prohibited by law, but he is competent to sell paddy or any kindred cereal as well as hays, woods, faggots, etc. Faggot here means the... Isn't it wood faggots?
Bundle of wood.
Oh, a bundle is a faggot. So it means he may sell it by weight or by... Okay. Right, so oil and that... Because oil and sweet vegetable juice... Remember, in the house, there's the 5 slaughterhouses. So the grinding, you know, what you grind with, or the mortar, these are two of them. So that's why sale of oil or sweet vegetable juice is not recommended, right? Because so many living entities are killed in the process. That'll come up later when we get to the legal laws of the legal laws. A plowman, by plowing the earth with an iron-tipped plowshare, commits the same sin in a day as a fisherman does in the course of a year by killing fish. Right? So that's why it's not recommended. It means for Vaishyas it's recommended, because that's their due. But for Brahmins it's not. So that's the interesting thing, is that we're talking about you know, Varnashram means you have to be Krishi Gauraksha. But actually, Krishi Gauraksha is only for as an occupation, is only for Vaishyas. Like that. Someone may have a little plot of land, grow some vegetables for himself or that, or have his own cow. That's okay. Anybody can do that. But as an occupation, it's only for Vaishyas. If Brahmins or Kshatriyas can't do their duties and they have to take up a Vaishya's duties, it's recommended they do business. It's never recommended they do farming. Yeah.
So in the first quote in Vinod Rikti, where it says, should take to agriculture, that meaning nothing else?
Yeah, basically I would say, because we're talking about in Kali Yuga, and also Shat Karma means he's performing all the rites properly, so therefore his sadhana is such that by dealing with this he could take care of this. You know, it also, I get the idea, because it says the Kratu rite, is he is someone who wants facility, because this will come up in the point here, is that generally speaking, you follow one occupation. But some will follow two, three, four, like this, because they want more money. So if someone wants to do a Soma Yajna, so you have to do a, to be qualified to do a Soma Yajna, you have to have 3 years' worth of grains in your store. So he would have to use more than one occupation. Rita is definitely not going to get it. You know, does that make sense? So it's just a matter of if, in other words, the Karmakandi might do, but someone who's more interested in the spiritual development wouldn't. You know, stuff like that. A pashaka, one who captures animals by casting a noose. A fisherman, a hunter, a bird catcher, a miser, and a plowman commit the same and the same amount of sin. A mortar or a grinding stone or an oven, a water pot and a broomstick are the five constant pieces of furniture in a household by which life is destroyed. Right? Because in other words, you take on the sin there. But you perform these Pancha Mahayagyas, that's taken care of. Right? But that's taken care of, as we see, by worshipping the Lord, serving the Vaishnavas and studying the scriptures. Right? Preaching. You know, these activities, they automatically cover that. But it's not, you can't say we don't do that. You can't just say we're devotees and not chant or not study or serve Vaishnavas or worship the Lord and not be, you know, have be worried about some reaction. It means these reactions aren't going to get in the way of your spiritual development. They're going to get in the way of your material facility, of which he's working so hard for. So that's why you want to use your intelligence. Okay? Okay, so, and here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Sama Vitava, Tavindaki, Jayatai Gaurav.